baptism in a few minutes after the message. Again, it's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. Since we are having baptism, the Baptist Church, so I believe the Lord would be pleased this morning to let me speak on that subject of baptism. After all, baptism is one of two ordinances that the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus our Lord, gave to the church. First of all, baptism, we believe, is an ordinance, a commandment. And the second one, of course, is the Lord's Supper, communion. We did that very recently, and those two are so important. Every year I'm blessed with the opportunity. We have 3 miles from us a Seventh-day Adventist Academy where high schoolers from all over the country come. And they're Seventh-day Adventists, and obviously they don't have the same beliefs we do. So several years ago, one of the seniors called and wanted to know if I would come over and speak to them for an hour, tell them what Baptists believe. There are certain things you don't have to pray about. Let me explain. If there's a decision to be made about what you're going to do in the future, most everything you pray about, but when God opens a door of opportunity to talk about the risen Savior Jesus Christ, you know that's Him. Seventh-day Adventist Academy inviting a Baptist preacher to come. And so every year they keep coming back, and sometimes two classes. The students come from all over the country. It's a rather large academy. And I'm so blessed. And I start out by telling them this. It's not what Baptists believe necessarily. It's what the Scripture tells us that we ought to believe. And in the course of time, if I can't tell you not only what I believe, but why I believe it, based upon the Word of God, I have no right of telling you what I believe. You know, a lot of us have a lot of beliefs about a lot of things. Very shallow sometimes, but the real belief that we ought to have in our heart is what thus saith the Word of God. So just for a few minutes, let me explain Baptist, Fletcher First Baptist Church. We know where Fletcher's at, but what about the word Baptist? Baptist believe means, in the dictionary, those that practice baptism by submersion, immerge someone underwater. And what does the word baptism mean? In the Greek, baptismal means immerge. Take that object, that person, and put it underwater. Submersion. Simple. God makes things so simple, you couldn't really get confused. Some people try to get confused. So trying to have baptism without immersion would be like it rains, but there's no water. It wouldn't make any more sense, because the word in the Greek means immerge, submerge. So they'll say the word baptism without immersion is senseless. So thus, and throughout the Word of God, we don't have time this morning to tell a lot of what Baptists believe, because we're talking about baptism. But a couple more things about what Baptists believe in the history of the Baptist Church. If you look at any denomination in the world today, the people that are in that organization know, and you can find out, what person, some individual, started that organization, that religion, except the Baptist faith. You cannot go back anywhere and find a single person that started the Baptist faith. The doctrine of baptism, of course, is in the precious Word of God. John baptized with water unto repentance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, we'll talk about that later. But Jesus himself was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And many times in the Word of God, remember, Philip was the great evangelist that was having a crusade and a mighty moving of God, and the Lord told him to leave that meeting and go out in the wilderness and preach the gospel. Now, the Lord is the one that leads and directs, and that's what Baptists believe. If it's the Word of God, we stand wholly upon the Word of God. No artificial, no man-made anything. Thus what saith the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that the Bible enforces that so many times. It says, unless the Lord build the church, they labor in vain that build it. So our policies, our ways of going out and building the church amounts to nothing. The Lord is the one that has to build the church. So the whole doctrine of baptism and everything that Baptists believe is based upon what thus saith the word of God. And a lot of people make this mistake. I don't want to start a controversy, but many people use the word Protestant and they call us Baptists Protestant. We're not. Protestant are those people that came out of the Catholic Church. We didn't come out of it because we were never in it. So we're not Protestant. We, and you trace it all the way back, and like I say, no individual started the Baptist faith, but it goes back to the baptism of Jesus Christ, because that's what we do. Jesus Christ was the one that instructed the church. We're reading some scripture together, history of Baptist church. Oh, individual, our local Baptist church. It didn't begin with you. It didn't begin with me. It didn't begin with our local Baptist church here in Fletcher. November 17th in 1838, a group of men and women started the Fletcher Baptist Church. It wasn't called that then. It was Salem Baptist Church. We're the same entity, just up the road here, a couple of blocks. The original church stood, and the cemetery still stands without the church, of course. But we see that the Word of God and the belief in the Word of God goes all the way back to the Scripture and the Baptist faith. The Baptist Church, of course, people think the organization started back in the 1700s. That may well be. But no individual can be found that started it, because the faith of the Baptist belief is back in the Scripture. Let's read some Scripture and get up to date on what saith the Word of God. So many places to start here. And we'll start in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. Scripture says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We realize that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was not one for big organizations, just go out in the wilderness and preach. And that's what Philip did. Remember, Philip later on, the evangelist, the Lord said, leave this place and go out in the wilderness. When God bids you to do something, he's got it all figured out. He knows all the things that's going to happen. He knows what is currently happening. So Philip left that great evangelistic crusade where people were getting saved. He headed out to the wilderness. And there came a chariot, remember? And someone had a copy of the Word of God. That's a good place to start. And he was reading. And he was reading, remember, from the book of Isaiah about Jesus Christ. And it's been Jerusalem, but he's headed back to his home country. And God knew he needed to know more, an explanation of what thus saith the Word of God. And that was Philip. He joined himself to the chariot. And as the man was reading, what are you reading? I'm reading. Do you understand it? No, but I sure would like to. That's why God sent me here, to help you understand what the prophecy is. So he talked to him and explained the fact that Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament many, many times about the Redeemer, the one, the Son of God, full man and full God that will come. And he had come. He had paid the price for our sins. He had went and been buried. He had risen from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And now the Holy Spirit is hovering around, drawing people like him to Christ. So he believed the Scripture and he was saved. You know the first thing you want to do? Be baptized. But he couldn't right there, because there wasn't enough water to be submerged. But as soon as they got to where there was much water, the first thing the Holy Ghost put on his mind and heart. Now, baptism does not save us, that we know. Baptism is being submerged because Christ Jesus says, I have need to be baptized of you, John. And John says, I'm not worthy. No one's worthy because he was God. But he set the pattern for us. So when he tells us that we're to be baptized, then we're to be baptized, and that portrays, it's symbolic, it represents as we go under the watery grave, we're emerged, we're submerged, and then we come up in the newness of life. It doesn't change a thing except the fact that we're being obedient to the Lord's command. It represents that we have before. Remember, he draws us to himself. We can't come to him because we're dead. We preach a lot of funerals, some in grave sites and some in churches. And I preached my father and my mother's funeral. I preached my son's funeral. But they were dead. Dead people are dead. And you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. We couldn't get to God. But thank God, because of death, burial, resurrection, and the Holy Ghost that hovers over us and compels us and shows us, illuminates your mind for the first time. That's conviction. Oh, we heard about when we were small, hopefully, all the days of our life. I heard about Jesus. I'm sure my mother walked and carried me to church in her womb. And I heard about the gospel all my life. And I knew in my head. And I believe there's never been a day or a time I've never doubted what Jesus did. That was in my head. But when I was 12 years old, the Holy Ghost came by. He illuminated my mind and showed me that I was lost and undone. And he didn't leave me stranded there. He showed me how in my heart I could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a mighty transaction took place. He moved the things in my head to my heart, and with the heart, man believeth. And all I had to do was, Lord, I'm lost, save me. And I had the head believe, and he transferred it to my heart that day and gloriously saved me. And the first thing that comes to your mind after you get saved is, you want to be baptized. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was never lost. But he set the stage. He set the pattern that you and I should be baptized to tell the world we're not ashamed of the fact that we were dead in trespasses, but now he saved us, he renewed us, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to live within our heart. He directs us, and being baptized just merely as a symbolic act in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have died to sins formerly when we got saved, and then we're raised in the newness of life. That's what happened to Jesus, remember? He was God, and full man. He did not lose any of his attributes when he became man. And he ascended back to the Father. How can you be full man and full God at the same time? Because he's God. And you and I look at ourselves. Remember, Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God created man and Adam in three parts. He was a soul inhabited in the body with a spirit that longs for God. But Adam, if you sin, you're going to die. God has never said anything but what he meant. And he's always kept everything he said, and he reacted on it. So Adam did sin, and he died. He died three ways. His spirit could not communicate with God. Ultimately, his body died. And his soul would never have went to heaven except God came by and offered him skins, coverings, a type of the covering of Lord Jesus Christ, shed blood. Same thing happened to you and I when we were dead in trespasses and sin. The Holy Spirit came by and offered us a covering for those sins, the blood of Jesus Christ. So the skins of animals had to be shed blood, portraying and looking ahead the fact that Jesus Christ would be the perfect Lamb of God. Adam and Eve could have turned their back. Thank God they didn't. They knew they had sinned. And there they received the covering. And you and I, we sinned, when the Holy Ghost told us that we were lost, and we received the covering for our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ. Henceforth, we keep the ordinance of baptism, showing, identifying with him, the risen Savior. And then we go back to the scripture and we'll read a couple more verses here. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Begin from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with him of his resurrection. It's a witness of his resurrection. Now, we believe that he resurrected from the dead, and he wants us to show that and be obedient to him as we're resurrected from the water. And they were being resurrected formally. It's already happened. But because of the baptism we do, the ordinance of the Baptist Church, it's not our ordinance. It's the ordinance that God gave us to do. Anything that is of us, from us, begins with us, doesn't amount to very much. Never will. But when Jesus and the Holy Ghost tells us to do it, then he blesses it. A couple more verses of Scripture. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 37. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. And then we realize that many other places in the Word of God talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what he talks about when we get saved, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't see that. It's not visible. But remember, baptismal, the Greek word, emerge, submerge, what happens to you and I, salvation. We're in sin. We were born that way. Well, I had a godly mother and dad. So did I. I was blessed in that regard. Nonetheless, I, like you, was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But the Holy Ghost came by and illuminated my mind, and I just received what he had already done. And symbolically, he, the Holy Ghost, baptized me, submerged me, emerged me, and for the body of Christ. A lot of transaction that day that you didn't really see and understand, but a lot was going on. When you believe and accepted him as your Savior, he, the Holy Ghost, came to live in your heart and renew your spirit and change your way. And the Scripture says, former things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. As a 12-year-old boy, I didn't understand that theology. I just knew something had happened. There was a cleansing that had taken place in my soul. And while I didn't understand and still don't know completely, but I do believe it because the Word of God says so, that he wrote her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, a lot of writings get destroyed. I've heard of, I had a friend, he's dead now, that was in the war and while they were in the Pacific and some of those islands and the swamps and everything, they came home to find out that their records had been destroyed somehow, some way. There was no record. But thank God there is a record of my new birth. Nothing can get through, Peter says. It's kept by the power of God, reserved in heaven for us. So that new birth, when Sandra and I got married for the first time, I needed a birth certificate. Maybe, I guess, earlier than that when I got my license. But the real thing was, I'm getting married now, so I have to go to the Madison County Courthouse. And there was a record, thank God, of my birth. And thank God there's a record of my new birth in a place called heaven. And right now, thank God that I get to reside in America, home of the brave and land of the free. Thank God, because of a new birth, when he comes or when I die, to depart. Remember, we're soul in heaven with the body, with the spirit. That spirit was renewed. And when we die, the funerals we preach, we tell the story, this is really not them. Their soul and their spirit has been transported to a place called heaven. That's where the citizenship is, if they're saved by the grace of God. And if they're not, then unfortunately, there's a place, a literal place, burns with the lake of fire, a place of hell. Only two places. But because of the shed blood of Jesus and the fact that we submitted, if we're saved, our lives to him, and now these that will come today just want to show what God's already done, he saved them. Next step. Buried with him in baptism, raised in a newness of life. We're going to ask at this time that the people that's going to be baptized today will come up. And also, we have some people that want to unite with their church. Brother Gary, if you'll come and introduce them to you at this time, those that's going to be baptized.